Blog Talk Radio.
Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host, wishing you a happy Monday and a happy week ahead. It's a little cloudy and gray today here in Houston, but nonetheless, it is a great day. And I want to thank you for tuning in, whether it's now or later. I truly appreciate your listenership. And please, do me a favor, encourage your social media friends to take a listen. I'll always have something enlightening and informative for you to hear. Well, today is Master Your Mindset Monday, and it's the Monday that I set aside each month to talk about shifting and growing and changing and perhaps reshaping how we think. More times than not, we really should keep our minds open and under construction so that we're always seeking to be at our best at doing life. Today, we will be talking about dealing with fear. Yes. Just yesterday, a sister friend and I were discussing how sometimes we have to take risks in life, and sometimes that can be pretty scary if you're not confident about what the results are going to be. Many people fear not knowing, you know, how something's going to turn out. Will it work? Will I succeed? Will I fail? Will this relationship work? Can I do it? Is this the right thing? Questions without answers sometimes create fear. My radio BFF, TV host Cassandra Meg Shepherd, is here, and she and I are going to discuss all this, and we're going to look at ways to fight our fears. Living life boldly from fear to fierceness, that's our topic today. Welcome, Cassandra, superstar RRR.
Hey, Silver, you said a lot of happies, happy Monday, happy day, happy all of that, but I have to say happy birthday to you, because today was the day that you graced this place, and so I celebrate you. So happy birthday.
What a wonderful thing to say. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I do like the thought of birthdays, but I do also like the thought of celebrating myself on any day. So I won't say it's just another day, but it certainly is not new to me to be celebrating me. So I appreciate it.
I like that in you. I like that in you.
Yeah.
That is obviously a choice that you have made, and I would encourage all of your listeners to make the same choice, to make the same decision. To celebrate themselves, their lives, and everything. But as you said, fear is one of those things that many times gets in the way of that celebration. So I'm glad we're talking about that today.
Yes, yes, and I'm glad you are here to do that. You know, I want to start talking about, you know, people are afraid of so many things, Cassandra, and I know people share a lot with you. They share a lot with me, and you know, sometimes I think that I might be a little bit too
I don't want to say unsympathetic, but, you know, when you live this much life and you've taken risks and you've fallen and gotten up and fallen and gotten up and you keep on trucking, you kind of realize there's not so much in life to really be so bent out of shape about or afraid of in the big picture. So I say that with a great amount of wisdom and not, again, insensitivity, but I really am big on encouraging people to step forth boldly with the things that they want to do and to try to get past your fears, because when you do, there's so many important breakthroughs that take place, not just in your mind, but things that can happen in your life and the opportunities that tend to open up and all kinds of really wonderful and fierce things truly do happen. But I want to start talking about some of my own personal situations of fears that I have faced, a couple of them anyway, in life, and just kind of get us jump started there. It's not so much a life issue, but I can remember being terrified of flying. Before, it could be 3 weeks before the flight, and I was just already just shaking practically. That's how fearful I was about the thought of boarding a plane and getting somewhere on it, which, you know, I was pretty sure I wasn't going to get where I was going to go most of the time. And when I did...
And you hadn't even packed yet.
No. And when I'd get there, I'd actually be surprised.
That sounds so funny. That's one
now.
Way to do time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No kidding, right? But mm-hmm. I can remember really being just so terrified. And when I go through the entire process of going to the airport and going through all of sitting on the plane and waiting for the plane to take off and the entire flight, I mean, every little noise, every little shake, everything would just send me into a state of terror. I was just pretty sure that on every flight I was never going to make it. And I knew that it was something that I was going to have to overcome if I was ever going to continue to board planes. And so I began to do a little research. First of all, just facing the fact that I got terrified like this and that it seemed to be irrational because nothing ever happened that was bad. And so I knew that I was creating the fear at a level that was really just entirely unnecessary. But I had to work through this, and I want to share this because I think it's really important. But one of the first things I did, the aerodynamics themselves are just incredible when you think about this huge piece of machinery is up in the air taking you across the world sometimes. And I began to ask. I asked the pilot and I asked a couple of the crew to explain to me how that can happen. How does this big piece of machinery stay up in this? And they gave me the short version of how it had to be going at a certain kind of speed based on the weight and all that kind of thing. And while in one way it was just too much information, it was information that I needed because the way it was explained to me is even if it slowed down a little bit, you're looking at a crash landing. It has to keep going at a certain speed. So, but they, you know, said that is really ever going to happen. That the plane is built to do what it's supposed to do. So anyway, I got that first piece of logical information to help myself. And then I started asking about where I was feeling the greatest fear. And I that turbulence thing used to send me into a fit. And so I asked about that. And I just happened to also see an interview with an airline employee talking about the turbulence, and statistics show that there's really never been a plane crash because of turbulence. And I thought to myself, that's hard to believe because there sure is a whole lot of shaking going on, you know, mm-hmm. in a lot of cases. And you think to yourself about this big piece of machinery being shaken by the air like that, you know, it's just incredible. But once I asked enough questions, once I got those things settled and I began to look at flight maps of all the gazillion flights that take place a day, day after day, and then you realize truly that the statistics show us that it is, even though it happens, extremely small that you're going to be in a plane crash. Once I got myself dealing with these things logically, that was the only way I was able to overcome it. It's the only way I'm able to get on a plane now and sit and just, you know, enjoy the entire thing without thinking about any of those things that I used to come apart at the seams, you know, as I would, you know, think about taking a flight and actually being on it and knowing that I wasn't going to get where I was going. And it changed so much. I mean, it changed for me. It was a breakthrough, literally. I was just terrified, but it was a huge breakthrough. And, you know, we have to realize that we got to define what the fear is. We got to confront it, and we got to do something about it. That's just one story. I'm going to let you talk and tell us perhaps some of the things that have been you faced and that you can share with us.
Well, I have wasted much of my life from time to time being afraid or fearful or concerned about things that I did not know, that I did not have information on. And as I listened to your story, you did a very sound and practical and necessary thing to face fears, and that was get some information. But I'd really rather share a story about me being shamed into facing fears and taking a look at irrational concerns about things. And I say shamed lightheartedly. My nephew, you know, my kids, my nieces and my nephew taught me a very important lesson when he was 6 years old about fear. He's now a young man in his early 20s. But when he was 6 years old, I was living on the West Coast at the time and would visit Milwaukee, my hometown, where he was currently living frequently. And I would always say when I got to town, bring me the child. And so he and I spent a lot of time together. Playing video games was one of the things that he loved to do. And the video game that he liked to play was upstairs at my parents' house. But also upstairs was a big blow-up plastic cow. I'm assuming that this was somebody's good idea of a marketing plan or something. A cow. We're talking Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm thinking that this was someone's marketing idea, something. I'm not quite sure what the cow said, but it was as big as he was. And this plastic blow-up cow, for some reason, just sent terror into this child. And so I asked him, his name is Maurice. I said, Maurice, do you want to play video games? And he said, yes. And I said, well, I'll go and get them because it's upstairs where the cow lives. And he stopped me with his hand on my leg, and he said, I'll go with you. And I said, are you sure, Reese? It's where the cow lives. And he said, Auntie, I've decided to face my fears.
Wow.
Now, I don't know what had happened in his six-year-old life. Where he got the information, that was just one of the many profound things that this amazing young man said when he was, in my opinion, way too young to know. But I stood there and I looked at him. He was all brave and, you know, still a little visibly braced or not necessarily shaken. He was, like, very aware. He didn't say it, you know, but he said, I decided to face my fears. And so I took his hand, or he took mine, and we went up the stairs, and the cow was sitting there right at the top of the stairs, and he looked at it, took a deep breath, and walked right on past the cow. And I thought to myself, if this baby can face the plastic blow-up cow, me with my grown self should really not be concerned about anything. I think about... I don't know why it scared him. I don't know how he decided, like I said, in 6 years or with 6 years of information to face it, how he knew, I'm assuming instinctively, that all you got to do is do it. And once you peep the curtain or pull back the veil or open the door or turn on the light, you realize that it's not really a ghost, it's just a shirt that's draped over the chair, or, you know, it's not a mouse, it's just a dust bunny. It's not what you fear it is. It's something that is very, very easy to deal with. I think about when you talk to people about fear, one of the things that is good to do in addition to doing what you said, because you worked hard to get the information, talking to pilots and crew members and all kind of stuff, but you did it.
I really
one
did.
Of the things, I, trust me, I believe you did. But one of the things I think it's also good to know because, or to entertain in the brain that's running rampant from one side of a thought process to another about worst case scenarios and what could happen, but really to consider with a little bit of logic the worst case scenario and what would you do in a case like that. When it comes to life, I think we all know we're not getting out alive. We're not going to outlive it. I think as so many things we talk about, Silver, so many things have to do with your core belief about the life that you're living in, the world that you're living it in, about God, about everything around you. And when you have a good, solid core belief, especially if you come up with what I believe to be true, is that God is, pause, love, pause, and all of that is for you, working for your good, then you can apply that with the information that you get or just, you know, some six-year-old boldness in the face of anything that causes you stress, fear, or concern. And you can do, as Maurice did, you can just walk right past it.
That's good stuff. You know, I want to talk about what is it that you feel, Cassandra, is the reason that we can so easily create these mountains in our minds about things. We can have our ideas about something we want to do, for instance. And I know you've talked to people who have had an idea or would like to do something, and it may be something simple like going back to school or starting a business or even a hobby business at home. But before they can get all of that out, they've already created a mountain of fears of reasons that it's just too terrifying a thing to do because of blank, 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 because of this and because of that, and, oh, it won't work, and I can't do it, and I'm just afraid of this and that, and they never do, because in reality, those fears are reality to them.
Well, they become realities, right?
And then there's a really big mountain that doesn't really exist. There's a big mountain that doesn't really exist, except in the way that you've made it into a long climb yourself.
Right.
And I wonder. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, first of all, let's draw a distinction between fear of life or losing life and fear of doing something or starting something that would, you know, kind of get you further on in the life that you're living. Fear, as you said, can be behind or around anything or many, many things. Sometimes very successful, brave, or successful people have irrational fears around some things. But when I think about, as you talk about starting something new, getting some more education or starting a business, be it for life and sustaining or career, or a hobby, I think about attachment to outcomes. As an artist, one of the ways that I operate or that I allow myself to give birth to my inspirations is I release attachment to outcome. that puts me then freely without my own judgment, and it's just me and the materials that I'm working with and whatever medium that I'm working in. Then it's just me and the materials and a willingness to let something become. Oftentimes when people say, they look at things that other people do, many people look at things that I do or have done and say, I could never do that. And my question is, really, when did you try? You know me, Silver. I'll get a thought in my head and I'll go shopping and buy the things that I need to do that it takes to make that thought into an actuality, building furniture, for example, creating garments or painting a picture. But I have no attachment to the outcome. And in many cases, and I know it sounds odd, because in many cases, especially as it relates to building things or creating garments, that's business. But when I say no attachment to the outcome, I am willing to let the creative process, which I believe is a source of intelligence on its own, that inspiration, I am willing to be a portal to allow that to come through. Granted, everything has not worked out the way that made any kind of sense, and I'm also willing to ditch it and go shopping and buy some more stuff and try it again. But it's behind releasing the judgment and the attachment to a particular outcome, and usually those outcomes are comparing yourself and feeling as though you fall short, comparing yourself to how somebody else is doing what they're doing. And God didn't mean them. God meant you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what you said, Cassandra, boils down to that acronym of fear, false evidence appearing real, that we... You know, we don't. It's not an actuality. It truly is an illusion, because whatever most of us are wanting to do has already been done by somebody, and so it's not. You know, it didn't take them out. So we know that there are even footsteps that we can follow. There are trails we can walk down. There are play by plays we can follow. There are steps we can use to do many of the things that we want to do that we fear. I believe that it's as I was saying earlier and you said just now, though people still feel that there is a judgment perhaps that's going to take place. If not from others, they're going to do it to themselves when it doesn't happen. And then there's that whole self-fulfilling prophecy that you create your own, failure just because you didn't believe you really could make something happen. So there's a lie. As I listened to you, I knew positively that there was a great amount of introspection that had gone into where you are in your thinking and mastering your mindset. And, I know that not everybody can go from 0 to 60 and hear in this conversation like that and experience that particular type of understanding about approaching your fear, facing them. But the important thing to remember is that whatever we did, we started someplace with the first step toward it. That's the key thing to remember. It's after some time and experience and risk-taking and, succeeding and sometimes failing and succeeding before you understand that there really isn't a whole lot to truly fear. I want to talk about the self-talk, though, Cassandra, and see if we can get people to look at how that can really put water on whatever your dream may be, or rain on your own parade by talking yourself out of it rather than into what you want. And just the other day I was talking to a group, and one of the things that I told them as far as achieving what they want is that you should wake up with a mantra and some motivation. Mantra and the motivation. Have something that affirms what it is, or something that can challenge the fear that says, I want to be a nurse, and I will do that within a the next 4 years I'll have my degree and I can do this. I told them it can be whatever you want. You can turn it into a phrase. You can turn it into a rap. You can turn it into a song. You can do whatever you want as long as you remember to tell yourself whatever it takes to overcome the fear that you may face or the self-talk that will talk you out of trying, you know, getting yourself in that direction. And then I said the motivation part of it too. You know, sometimes we kind of blast through a lot of the insecurities and the fears that we feel. And I said you can do that on regular mid-grade or premium motivation, and you really mm-hmm. should choose premium. You know, mm-hmm. go for yes. the gusto. Do yourself some good reading of an article at least once a day. Get yourself the best quotes to reinforce the faith that can overcome the fear that you can potentially yourself into. It's easy, mm-hmm. too, because if you sit and think about it, what you want to do and all the steps that may be involved in some of those processes, you really can talk yourself out of it. You kind of see easily. It's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. You mm-hmm. and so, what say you in regard to the self-talk?
One of the things that I think we need to do is really be honest. Oftentimes, we want to be doctors or nurses or lawyers or business people because that was our parents' dream for us. And when you find it difficult to start on a path to do something that you think you thought you wanted to do or be all of your life, and it's difficult to start because it's not really what you want. So we really need to, I think, be honest when your heart's desire might be to bake pies for somebody that makes people happy. It might be to talk to people or motivate people. It could be something very simple or something even more lofty. But we are not, I think, as people classically taught to honor our thoughts and our inspirations and those reasons that we are actually doing time in this thing called life on this place called Earth. And it would be difficult to impossible or certainly painful to proceed on any course that is really not your heart's desire. I think, mm-hmm. though, Silver, when I was listening to you speak and we talked, but you spoke about things, most things have been done before, courses have been charted, there's very little that's new under the sun. We say that all the time. But a very brave man came to mind when you were speaking, President Barack Obama. Now, that brother has done something that nobody's done before. Yes,
that's
people
true.
Have run for presidency and people have won, but not a black man in this country. And I think about, when I think about a heart's desire or an innate calling, and the perseverance that it takes and the planning that it takes, I don't know that you can really do anything with any great amount of success if it's not truly, especially something of that magnitude, if it's not what you came here to do. I can't even imagine the obstacles. And bump the self-talk. You've got a lot of actual naysaying in your face and in social media all around you, and yet still there was something in him so strong that kept him not just focused for the running, but the life leading up to doing the impossible, the thing that had never been done. There are any number of public people, or even if we look in our lives, we see people that overcome what seems to be insurmountable things on a daily basis. But I offer that if it's something that you want to do, check and see if it's something that's really in your heart to do it first and foremost. And if it's not, stop lying. Stop stressing yourself out by saying, I want to do this thing, but I can't get started, when the truth is really it's just not what you want to do. When we are motivated enough, when we want something enough, when we are sick and tired of being fearful and sick and tired, we will usually take some steps. And as you talked about those first steps, it is good to squash or at least combat the self-talk with something positive. And that is simply, as you say, mastering your mind and changing it, your mindset. When you hear yourself say, I can't, say I'm lying. I'll say, well, I live alone, so I can't talk to myself and nobody looks at me crazy. But I'll tell myself as I'm working on a project and I don't necessarily know what I'm doing, I don't always see the third step before I start the first step, but I have faith enough in the inspiration to start the step. And I've learned that from the vantage point of step one, I can see step two and have an idea of step three. But if I never positioned myself to take the first step, well, then I am blind. I don't believe in that lack of clarity to the end of something. I don't need to see the end before I start because I trust, I have faith in the inspiration.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad that you used the idea of President Obama becoming president, because I know there's so much backdrop to it when it comes to faith and confidence and perseverance and all of the reasons that inside an individual that happened. You know, we, of course, as the people, elected him president, but he was president in his own head before
he
any of that.
Himself. Yes,
yes,
long before. And you don't have to know politics. You just have to be living and have paid attention on any level to realize that as soon as you set yourself up for any public position, I don't know what it is about us as people that need to undress you. They couldn't even make a lie stick. And so to be that on purpose, to be that courageous, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know this man personally. I don't know what his thoughts are. You can certainly see by his actions, and you can. I mean, you don't have to be a person of color in this country to know the history of people of color in this country, or the difficulty in rising to levels of that magnitude in this country. But I stand in awe and of the kind of dedication and focus. And when we talk about something as irrational as fear, many people won't start because they don't know if they'll succeed. And I say, so what? So you fail. If you do the time, you have learned something. Many successful people will tell you, many inventors will tell you of all the times that they tried it and it didn't work. But it wasn't a failure to them. It wasn't fearful to them. They took an assessment of the route that they took, of the experiments that they made, and of why it didn't work, and tried it again, adding some things, subtracting some things. And eventually, we have light. But how many times did we go for that and it didn't work? And so many people won't do something because I'm afraid I won't make it. It won't be a success. So what? So what? You're not a success doing nothing. And it's also, it's not healthy. It's not healthy to beat yourself up as we do. It's not healthy to bombard your own consciousness, your own soul and spirit with what you can't do. It's really not healthy. You're all you've got. And if you don't align yourself with yourself and get on your own side to motivate and encourage yourself to do the things that are in your own head, it ain't a good place to be when you don't even trust and believe in you.
Right.
And
right.
All you got to do is change your mind.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to reflect on it again because I was going somewhere with that, and that is that what I heard in a lot of what you said is that we overcome self-talk, defeating self-talk, by having that vision about what we're wanting, being stronger than the fear. Mm-hmm. And it's not the outcome itself that you're necessarily dealing with, but you can see yourself as that. And that in itself does pick up its own momentum. And as I also listened, it came to me that there was, not only did he make his self-talk, he made it our talk, because his entire campaign was, yes, we can. Yes, we can. And that became a living and breathing mantra for all of us who believed that this was potential and this was possible, and that it did ultimately happen. And so if something as easy as saying, yes, I can, yes, I can, instead of all of the other talk that we use to just totally talk ourselves out of something or find ourselves defeated before we've even put ourselves out there to even see what we could achieve or if we can accomplish what it is that we want. And so it is important to combat that fear with some type of positive spin or positive languaging, and something, again, as simple as saying, yes, I can, and yes, I will make this happen.
Silver, I think about you. We talked about oftentimes the desires that we beat ourselves up because we don't make a move to fulfill the dreams that we feel less than because we're not living or dreaming are really somebody else's. Well, also, we carry the fears of our parents, of our ancestors, and of the world around us. You have to be a really questioning, thinking a person to not be afraid. I mean, everything about most of the messages that we get are to keep us fearful. So we will be then good consumers. So we will be complacent, and so we will shop when we're told to shop and buy what we're told to buy and feel the way we're told to feel and all of that. And you've got to just really, again, just stop and look and see. I don't want what someone is telling me that I need to have. And a lot of times we fear that if we can't have this thing, that if we really thought ourselves, we realized we didn't really want. We fear that if I don't get this thing that the commercial tells me I need, then I won't be what they tell me I should be, when it's not even what I want. We are taught, we're bred to be followers, but we weren't meant to be. I believe that we are all here on purpose to do something, and that thing that is within you to do is within your ability to do. No question. And so if we are honest about what it is that we really desire, and again, I go back to that worst case scenario, because once you get the information as to what it is that you want to do, with it, as much information as you can about the thing that you're fearing, it would be good, I think, to deal with a worst case scenario and create a plan. What would you do if? The worst thing that could happen, and when I think about the thing that would really stop many people cold in their tracks, is the whole fear of losing your life, and that's a real situation. We know that people's numbers are up daily, every minute of every day, but it's not about the length of your days, really. It's about the quality of your days, because as I said, nowhere have I seen that we're getting out of here alive. But I don't believe that we get out of here before we're done. And so you really got to deal with that worst case scenario if you're fearful of your health. Health, for example, as it relates to moving in the world, take some action steps. Pay attention to what many people, there's much information about out there about how not to be a victim. If you're fearful of your safety, take some self-defense classes. And that is really good because many times if we are prepared, we don't find ourselves in these situations. Many, many times if you have a clue as to what you'll do in a situation, you won't find yourself in that situation. Because in the getting of that information, you also learn how to be careful and how to be more aware. There is no fear, and I am convinced of this, that is rational. There is certainly no fear and no reason that's real enough to stop us from living the lives that we are meant to live. It's said that you operate out of one of two things, love or fear. And only one of those things is real.
Mm-hmm. You're really right about that, Cassandra. I had written down what about phobias, and you just kind of touched on a little bit of that because that's an other kind of fear, and I really don't want to make it sound like what we're talking about, that either one of us really has the ability to actually therapeutically deal with some of those very serious areas where people are challenged in a way that neither you or I have ever experienced. And it for them it is a categorically maybe a medical or psychological situation. However, what I do believe, though, of some of what you said still can boil down to approaching it as realistically as possible. I think about, and I know you used to tease me about this a lot, calling me a germaphobe.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yes.
Well, I have to tell this it. Little short story. No.
I was serious.
I have to tell this short story first. One of the last courses I had to take to get my degree was a science course. And the only thing that I could fit in my schedule was a course about microscopic germs. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, because I think like I do, that might be kind of fascinating to learn. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought initially. Well, the majority of people in that class were aspiring to become nurses or doctors. I had not anticipated that part of it, but that's how it landed. So I sat between two nurses typically on every day that I was in class. I deliberately tried to miss that class a lot once I found out what they were talking about because the world is literally filled with
wrong.
Microscopic stuff that we just would not believe. And they would have it on a screen magnified like 15 zillion times its size.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
the professor, who was a renowned scientist, would share, you know, some of this information and, you know, and it's here and it's you can't get away from it and some of it's on your body already and it lives there all the time, and he would go through all of that, and I was just kind of, you know, freaked out by the whole thing. And I thought, you know what, I knew that there was an other life, and he referred to it often as another life. But there are a lot of germs, of course, that are designed to help us,
precisely,
you know, be healthier.
Precisely.
So I only went to class, and I hate, and I shamefully admit, I only went to that class enough to pass it because it was just really too much information for me. And it's still something that I don't constantly think about it, but I said to one of the nurses next to me one day, I said, you know how when you go to school, you know, after a little while, you kind of forget everything you learned? I said, I am really hoping that about this class. And she turned and she said, you won't. Not with this class. Okay. You're not helping.
Yeah.
But she was right. So that's another thing I've had to do brain training on. Cassandra, to be very honest, and anybody listening, I've had to do brain train on talking myself out of not being too freaked out about understanding germ life and how it exists and how easy it is to, you know, come in contact with it, get sick over it and all other kinds of things, you know, and I had, again,
do the whole rational thing.
I'm still here and extremely well.
Let's just be practical for a moment in this. How long ago was that? How many years ago was that? Ballpark.
13.
Okay. All right, 13 years ago. So 13 years ago, you went to get some information. You got way more than you bargained for. And that could have really sent you spinning. And that, a lot of times, that's a good solid foundation for phobias. Many people are germophobes, seriously. But again, when you look at the fact that 13 years later, the world is still turning. You are still healthy with all of those things creeping and crawling in their place doing what they're supposed to do. See, now, within the midst of something you couldn't know, that. But that reminds me of something that I choose to do often. As I talked about us being consumers and following the paths that have been set out for us by other people, sometimes well-meaning, sometimes not, sometimes we need to skip class. Sometimes we need to look away. You know personally that I am good for looking at a situation that appears to be real based on history and other people's experiences and somebody's not just theories but scientific studies and all of that. You know I am good for looking at that and saying, yeah, but that doesn't apply to me. I can look at evidence and say, yeah, that's not real for me. It might be real for you. But it's not real for me. And bottom line, because fear is, as you said, false evidence, things that appear, evidence is things that appear to be solid, valid, true, and real, but they're false, appearing real. Bottom line, it's in your head. And at some point in time, at something, prayerfully, you will just look away and say, no, I don't think so. Prayerfully, at some point, you'll just skip that class. The reality is, as I said, as I see it, there are many agendas set out, some by well-meaning people, laws and boundaries and ways in which we should live as civilized people. But as civilized people, we are not encouraged to break down walls and go be free and follow our dreams. That's not necessarily the overwhelming message of this civilized world that we live in. It's kind of do this way, follow this path, and look and see what somebody else did, and, you know, be afraid of this because, you know, three people were hurt before. We have to, again, really, really search our hearts and our souls, if it comes to doing something or acquiring or achieving something, search your heart and your soul and ask yourself, is it really what you want? And then, again, visit that worst-case scenario. What will I do if? I don't really honestly know how you can successfully do anything without a solid spiritual foundation, a belief in something that does not have you just out here as a victim. And then, as you said, get the information. Look not just at the information that's coming to you. Talk to some people. What have you overcome? Talk to some people and realize that most fears are just things that we tell ourselves. But
that's true.
That you believe to be true. But as you said earlier, tell yourself that doesn't apply to me. Tell yourself, yes, I can. You might not be able to, and you know, oh, well, less competition. Too bad, so sad, but excuse me, I got to go.
Right. And while we're in that vein, let's talk about, believe it or not, we've got about 10 minutes left in the show, but I want to talk about...
Now, that is really scary, how fast time flies when we're talking.
It really does. But I want to talk about our own personal challenges, and I don't mean challenges that something's gone wrong, but things that we want to do, like it may be taking a trip. It might be life after divorce. It might be, again, going back to school. And the reasons that we want to go ahead with those things is because, again, it will open up something inside of us. And I think that that's, of course, the thing that's most exciting and the thing that I want to emphasize the most with any of this, but particularly the self dynamic, to be reminded that when you begin to overcome your fears just one by one, you know, you can't attack it all. It's just one by one. Take one thing at a time. If you've coming out of a horrible relationship and divorce, and now a couple of years have gone by, and you know, you feel like it's time now to go into another relationship, but you're fearful about that. I know my experience, and what, again, I'm trying to emphasize is that so much of what we do does just require some logic. You know, I don't know that you tell yourself, well, I'm looking to really fall in love again and with the man who's truly the man of my dreams and all of that. I don't know that that is a great approach past a fear. I think a greater approach past a fear afterward is to really learn how to be friends or learn how to date again, or, you know, to overcome the, again, the insecurities that may have developed and the fears of the right and wrongs of in a relationship. But I know that I can genuinely tell anybody that the great majority of things that we have talked about today can be addressed in your own thinking and life in very logical in very logical introspection and taking very logical steps. And I think when we do that, we really can be, we can feel more confident about the success that we can potentially have as we walk toward the future, whether it's, you know, visiting three countries, or whether it's, again, looking at a four-year degree like myself, or 6 years, actually, after, you know, so much of life has already passed you by. Things that, you know, just, again, I can remember just making logical steps, asking for packages from several schools across the country and looking at them and making decisions and things like that. And it wasn't scary, big scary, but it was certainly, wow, I'm getting ready to make a big major life decision here. And I did manage to change what felt like fear into a load of excitement. But that's what happens once you start moving yourself in that direction. And that's the encouragement I definitely want to leave with anyone, or inspire in any person who is listening, to know that once you start walking in the direction of whatever it is you think you want or see or need or want to become, it all of a sudden that fear starts turning into a really neat feeling of excitement, because the closer you, the more you start walking, the clearer it becomes, the clearer you can see it.
As I said about vantage points, but if you sit in your fear and in your I can'ts and in your what is, and never make the first step, then that delusion appears real. But if you pick up the phone or have a conversation or search the internet, or, I mean, there really is nothing new under the sun. And it's about moving from the position where you are, which might be fear-based, into a first step. And from that vantage point, you'd be surprised at what you can see. And the great thing about overcoming yourself is you not unlike working out in a gym, you begin to build a muscle that will help you be strong to take and face the next steps and the life that comes after that.
Mm-hmm. So we're saying then that fear really should be approached as a positive challenge. And what I want to say about that, you can surround yourself with naysayers who will tell you, yeah, every doom and gloom story that could possibly happen if you tried to do what you're thinking about, or you can surround yourself with people who have perhaps experienced what you want or have what you want, who will encourage you past all of the feelings that you may be experiencing. You really do have to make sure you ignore the naysayers and the negativity and choose people who have already done the faith walk that you're about to embark upon.
Mm-hmm. Like I say, skip class, child, skip class.
I did.
Yeah. Skip. Look away.
I look back and that might have not may not have been a good idea at that point, but it sure did work for me. That class was just really had me unraveled. But there's one last point I want us to emphasize, and we were just going there, but I just want to reemphasize it, that we want to think about what we want to have happen instead rather than what we don't. I can't remember the quote entirely, but it says something like, most of whatever it is we fear never happens. And I know I'm not saying it exact in its exactness, but it's something like that. Most of what it is that we're fearing never does happen. And so it just makes sense that once we can see as much as we possibly can conceptually about what we're thinking we want, start thinking about what we would rather have happen. For me, it's been a pretty good practice for me to see the end from the beginning. I often approach things with that in mind, that I can see not necessarily the entire result framework, but the knowing that I can is what I'm talking about, knowing that I can make something happen, knowing that I can accomplish something. And I can remember, again, because I went to school, I spent a lot of time in school earlier in life, too, but I actually finished my education in later years. But I actually visualized myself often walking across stage, and I had to do that because I was in a grueling school where it was hard work. It was one of the prestigious schools here in Houston, and I was glad to be a part of it. But the coursework was heavy duty, and there were many a day where I had to keep reminding myself of what that end result looked like and how happy I was going to be. And I literally would see myself walking across that stage many times to remind myself, "Ooh, don't give up, right? Don't stop, keep going." And then there was one point where there was a big fear. Am I going to do this? Am I going to be able to? Because it feels so hard right now. But this is something I shared the other day, too. If you visualize where you think you're going enough, you know you hit that bump. But something says, oh, that's just a bump in the road. Let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. And so we want to make sure that we're thinking about what can happen instead. And there is a yes, I can in just about every scenario that I could possibly think of, and I want to encourage people with that today. You can overcome your fears. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we wrap?
No, except for fear is a small word, but it's a very big topic, and depending upon what fears people are entertaining, it can feel really large, and possibly we didn't in this conversation, brief as it was, touch on your specific or particular fear. But the one thing that's true about all of fear is it's just all a lie.
Yeah.
The one thing that's true about fear is nothing. Nothing.
That is so true. Well, Cassandra, thank you again for joining me for our Master your mindset Monday. The goal is to always provide something that's going to spin people into life in a bigger and better way, and know that you can pursue what you want to boldly and confidently, and all it takes many times is, as you say, changing your mind. So thank you so much, and I'm going to look forward to talking to you again real soon. Let people know where they can see you on TV and online.
That's right. You can join me on fox6now.com. Real Milwaukee is the show. We do stream live from 9 a.m. until 10, Monday through Friday. Also, you can check me out at CassandraMcShepherd.com. There is a video YouTube channel that talks about, I talked about facing fears on that one and many of the things that we talk about, just in case you want a little bit of company on your route. Silver, Ray Fox, and I will be there for you. Thanks a lot, Silver.
All right. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes. Bye-bye.
And I want to thank you, listeners, for being great listeners. I appreciate you so much. Just want to remind you to let your friends on social media know about Foxology Today. And let me give you a quick rundown of what my radio BFF, Cassandra McShepherd, and I just talked about. We were talking about living life boldly from fear to fierceness. A couple of things we said: face what you're afraid of, and remember it's a mountain, it's a mountain that's just an illusion. All the reasons that we tell ourselves we can't, it's just false evidence appearing real. We got to avoid the self-talk. Make sure we create our own mantra, even if it's as simple as saying, I can. And avoid the self-defeat. Again, take that step. Take that step forward, one little step at a time, and before you know it, you're going to be somewhere. And ignore the naysayers and the negativity. You can do this. Face your fear as a challenge, embrace it, and make it happen. Think about what you want to see happen instead. So whether it's like me, you got this fear of flying at one point in my life, or you're just trying to soar to new levels in life, let me just remind you, yes, you can. Again, thanks for spending this time for me. Enjoy the rest of your day. Take care.